I don't recall it.
By rule of the commission.
By rule of commission.
There was some discussion of allowing the commission some flexibility on something. I don't remember if this was it. Was this the topic?
Well, that's the definition of small.
Well, what it is, Mr. Chairman, there's tax levying authority out there. I think it's 50 people submit a petition to a unit of local government, then bingo, there's a tax levy. So it's a patchwork, an uncoordinated system across the state. The primary reason Senator Cohen advocated for this was for the safety of the boxers. You'll have so-called tough guy fight, somebody will get beat up pretty bad, say in Portland, then the next night they're in Eugene getting pounded again. The Revenue Committee did the work, that is changing the tax levy from the local jurisdiction to a statewide commission, put in the bill a hold harmless clause so that the biennium following the next biennium there will be a return proportionate to the actual revenues generated to hold harmless those municipalities who had found other uses for it. It's pretty much self-regulating in the sense that the commission will decide on requests from communities to establish boxing and wrestling matches. And that's the best I can do without having it in front of me.
Terrific. There's some more here on that in the pony.
Maybe there's Mr. Weeks. He's standing up and looks knowledgeable.
Mr. Weeks, could you further clarify my question?
Mr. Chairman, I think the answer to your question may be there is a closed circuit. I believe there's a $25 minimum charge. So it's 6% of the gross receipts, but not less than $25.
And there's no exemptions for the amount of seating?
The tax doesn't relate to any seating capacity. Exemptions are for amateur boxing events between educational institutions and guard units, or in the case of amateur boxing events where a fee is charged. The new commission now sets an amount of the fee that goes back to all the amateur boxing associations, but nothing that relates to the number of participants or number of individuals who view a closed circuit event.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there further questions?
Mr. Co-Chair, somewhere in the legislature, not in the subcommittee, whatever concerns the TV cable association had were addressed.
Terrific. Okay. Further discussion? Any opposition to sending this bill to the House floor with a due pass?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I hate to be this way, but I think I'll object.
Okay. For the record, Representative Hanneman at Gilmore will object.
Mr. Chairman, I wish we had a little clearer. I'm not sure at all that there is a tax for showing an event. I think there's a tax on paying admission to view a closed circuit.
Yes, that's right.
So
yes.
That does not apply unless the tavern was actually charging admission to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty sure that was in the bill. We heard parts of this in another subcommittee, and I think that that's the language on the first page of the bill.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard of loyalty to the tavern.
House Bill 3256, report to the House floor, do pass. House Bill 3239, Senator Cairns, please. 3279, excuse me.
As amended, this measure establishes the faculty recruitment account with a $1 appropriation. All monies in this account will be continuously appropriated and made available without limitation for the purpose of attracting new outstanding faculty member to Oregon State Center for Higher Education. Funds from sources other than private sources, such as student tuition and fees, or indirect cost recoveries may be utilized only if prior approval is received by the appropriate legislative review agency. Recommended option.
Further discussion? Is there any objection by members of sending this bill to the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing no objections, it will be done. Under announcements, Senator, Representative Kopetsky, you have a salary committee that would like to start immediately?
That's right.
Okay. General government would start at a time certain.
Which is?
I'm sorry.
We have a conflict with members, so it will start immediately following salary.
Sorry.
Is that okay? couple things on the agenda. Any other announcements?
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
We'll stand adjourned for today, but could happen any time tomorrow.
Joint Ways and Means Full Committee, Wednesday, June 24th, 1987. Hearing Room F, 1 p.m., Senator Thorne presiding.
Let's convene. We'll begin with the budget bill that's reported out of committee. House Bill 5061 relating to salaries. Representative Capetti.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, the same budget bill we had up here before that had a stunning vote count on, and essentially the only change from what we did earlier is that we set the statewide salaries as to the following: the governor at $75,000, the attorney general at $62,000, the other statewides at $57,500, we did clarify some budget notes with respect to higher education, but essentially, other than that, those changes, you have the same budget. Third year. Yes, passed.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, it should be clear that higher ed will return to the first emergency board with their flat rate or their pay rate table of distribution prior to the distribution or release of the monies.
Okay. Thank you. Further comments? Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
No. Representative Capetti, what kind of percentage increase is the revised salary schedule?
Senator Yee, Rick could help me out, but I think what it would be approximately 4% for the labor commissioner, attorney.
I think those numbers were computed. Maybe we could just ask for them.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the Secretary of State, Treasurer, Superintendent of Public Instruction, and Commissioner of Labor and Industries, the annual increase is 4.4%. For the Attorney General, it's 3.3%. Governor is 2.1 annually for governor.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator
Yee. And this is all within our spending limitation.
Yes. And within those budgets, it is not an added appropriation. They will find the money themselves or
within
or take
limit.
Something lower.
Further discussion? Not. The motion then is that we send House Bill 5061 to the floor of the House with a due pass. Call the roll, please.
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Mason.
No.
McCracken.
Aye.
Capetti.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
No.
Robert.
Aye.
Hannon.
No.
Trove.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
No.
Karens.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye.
Nine eyes.
I'm so afraid of. Thank you. No, it's passed. It was mine.
Thank you. Want to leave that.
That's right. House Bill 5061, having received the majority, is declared passed. Next is House Bill 2070, Representative Kopeski.
Mr. Co-Chair, House Bill 2070, as amended, revises the PERS laws in several areas, changes federal laws regarding age discrimination, have made the majority of Oregon statutes relating to mandatory retirement age obsolete. Those statutes have been modified or deleted. Under this bill, all beneficiaries of PERS member will have the option of choosing a lifetime benefit rather than a lump sum. In current law, only a spouse has that choice. Other benefit options recommended by the House Task Force on PERS were also adopted. This bill allows individual members to receive information on how their benefits were computed and provides a mechanism for challenging the accuracy of that information. In addition, House Bill 2070 exempts financial records of non-retired employees from disclosure under the public records law and allows PERS to make lump sum payments in those instances where the monthly benefit payment would be $30 or less. I recommend that you pass the motion.
Comments or questions on House Bill 2070? If not, is there objection to Representative Kopetsky's motion on House Bill 2070? Hearing none, House Bill 2070 report before the Senate with a due pass. Next item, Senate Bill 404 relating to certain games. Senator Hannan.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, Senate Bill 404 deals with gambling regulation. The bill deals specifically with the games known as bingo, lotto, and raffle. What it does is deals with four specific issues. The first one is the responsibility for the administration of bingo, lotto, and raffle games is going to be placed in the Justice Department rather than within the Lottery Commission. This is after a great deal of discussion. The Attorney General came before our committee and indicated that although he was not seeking this, however, it was his intention to comply with the wishes of the legislature, the governor, and whoever else to carry out the wishes of the ballot measure that was approved last November. The second issue is that Senate Bill 262, which is the off-track betting bill, and has already been sent to the governor, is further amended in Senate Bill 404 to provide the Justice Department with investigative powers dealing with the issue of off-track betting. This was an issue that was addressed through this bill so that the Attorney General can, in fact, investigate, if necessary, any allegations or charges or potential abuses that might occur or arise. The third thing the committee did in the bill is state that Senate Bill 404 is basically an interim type effort at reporting and controlling these types of games and establish an 89 review in the next session. The intent of the committee was to establish that the Justice Department would be sunset in 1991, and this would cause the legislature in 89 to review the entire issue and possibly at that time consider enacting legislation, establishing a gaming commission, or what other form of regulation might be necessary to carry out the provisions of this law. And finally, the fourth and final issue addressed in this bill deals with a general fund appropriation of $475,000, and this is a startup cost for the Attorney General's office, with an other funds limitation of $500,000 to complete the first year funding for this program. It's the committee's intent that everything would be self-supporting or self-sustaining from the license fees that then would be generated in the future. Also, the 89 legislature could then consider if, in fact, the Attorney General, through revenues generated through the licensing program, should then pay back the $475,000 general fund, or whether it should be just a forgiven loan. Basically, that's the provisions of this bill. Mr. Chairman, there was no opposition to the bill expressed. All the parties to gaming regulations basically agreed and brought out their concerns, and we send it out with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Hannan. Under the order of discussion, Senator Kearns.
Mr. Chairman, looking at page 3 of the amendments to 404, I see on line 7 and 8, the department shall set fees in an amount sufficient to cover all costs incurred by the department in its activities, but I don't see an upward limit on what those fees are, and I would hate to see this program, but, you know, it's such a totally elaborate kind of process that it becomes confiscatory. Was there any discussion in the subcommittee about what their estimated costs would be or what sort of a percentage of these activities would be consumed by this regulatory activity? It seems to be uncapped.
Let's ask one of the whoever.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been having a little difficulty following your debate because of the noise of the people behind me and the little papers that keep getting stuck in front of my face. Now, the idea was that the regulation would be the responsibility of the Attorney General and we did not, by statute, limit the amount of fees that he might charge. There was a very clear understanding that it would be as low as possible and in cases waived. Now, the Attorney General has told me, and I don't think it's so private that I can't communicate it right here, that he is an elected official and he's concerned about the program with respect to his reelection, and he intends to not stir up trouble amongst charitable groups who properly conduct raffles or bingo games or lotto games. And I think the fact that he is an elected official responsible to the people of the state of Oregon, he's going to be very fair and very reasonable.
So the Archbishop will be watching, and he'll be sensitive to those things.
Yes.
All right.
Senator Hannon, do you want to add?
Yes.
Notwithstanding the Archbishop.
Well, I don't answer, but I'll tell you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that was an issue that was expressed on behalf of the committee as well. We were concerned about the small veterans of foreign war post as an example that might only conduct a bingo game once a week or possibly twice a month. And we were concerned that if the license fees became so prohibitive, it was in essence putting them out of business, and it really wasn't regulating anything, it was acting as a prohibition. And the Attorney General expressed, as a matter of fact, for the record, that that was not their intention, to use this as a vehicle to prohibit bingo, lotto, and raffles and any other type game. So I hope that all the members are aware that the Attorney General did, in fact, give us a pledge that this is not his number one priority to start putting all these little games out of business.
Good.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Egan, then I'll come over here.
Representative Liz Van Leeuwen just brought to my attention that the definition of rifle is not as drawn out in the House bill that was passed by a large margin. And I want to know if it's possible to keep this to the end of today's agenda so I can have a chance to look at the difference between the two definitions and then go accordingly.
Possibly. Let's see what the discussion will be. Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chairman, in response to the Senator's questions or concerns, we adopted, and I don't know specifically in here, but the Attorney General did, in fact, submit an amendment that we did adopt to address the concerns. Mm-hmm. I believe the Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Wood, was the individual who had worked with Representative Van Leeuwen and indicated that this amendment was expressly being presented to our subcommittee to address her concerns. So it is in the bill, and I'm sorry I can't go exactly to the page, number, and chapter and verse to find it for you, but I'd be happy to point it out for you. It is in there. Mr. Jones, do you?
Mr. Chairman, under the amendments submitted by the subcommittee that I recall tightened up the regulations that relate specifically to raffles. There was one provision in there that allowed for more than one type of game that was asked for by one of the advocates. But that was the only one dealing with
that. And I believe, Mr. Chairman, was Representative Van Leeuwen's concern.
It does not trouble me, Mr. Chairman, to move it to the end of the agenda. I would point out for everyone concerned, though, that the kind of action that we're seeing here in terms of communications from people in the audience and members indicates the kind of interest there is in the regulation of lotto and bingo and raffles, and reinforces the basic intent of the bill, which is to transfer that to the appropriate state agency as required by Measure 3 passed by the voters and now part of the Constitution that gives it to a state agency. Many people have come up to me, members of the subcommittee, asking for this or that. I have referred them to the Attorney General, and he has come back with his response. That continues to be the way in which I would suggest that we handle it. So, Mr. Jones, if you would get the concerns of Senator Gee, Representative Van Leeuwen, contact the Attorney General and see what his opinion is, then we can address this at the end of the agenda today. The whole idea is to get an agency to handle this and get the legislature out of it for now. And that is what the governor also strongly feels since I met with him yesterday. So we have a good example of why that's important.
Mr. Chairman, we might not have enough time to contact Attorney General's office and come back Is this something that can be held till tomorrow? We have a meeting tomorrow.
We will set it to the end of the calendar and ask that the chair of the subcommittee organize whatever it is that he feels appropriate to try to resolve the question and report to us at the end of the calendar, and then we'll make the appropriate decision of that. Is there objection to that action?
Well, you want the rest of the discussion now?
I would prefer to just set it over and we'll pick it up then if that's okay. No objection? Let's go to 525, Senate Bill 525 relating to community colleges. Representative Hanneman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 525 provides the provisions for the targeted training program, which is in Senate Bill 964, passed out of the Economic and Development and Natural Resources Subcommittee. 964 says that the targeted training funds be distributed and administered through the Economic Development Department, but that's not what Senate Bill 525 says. So all the provisions of Senate Bill 525 are repealed, and the provisions of 964, which have already passed, prevail for the distribution of $755,000 of targeted training funds for community colleges.
Is there objection to Representative Hanneman's motion on Senate Bill 525? Hearing none, so ordered. I guess the motion is to report to the floor of the Senate do pass. So ordered.
No.
Okay, let's go to Senate Bill 533 relating to the environment. Representative Gilmore.
The what?
I would have never thought, Mr. Chairman, that this honor would be bestowed upon me.
Is that all you want to say?
It's difficult to...
Moment of grief. It's choked up with emotion.
Yeah, choked up with emotion. Senate Bill 533 directs the Department of Fish and Wildlife to develop and maintain a list of threatened and endangered wildlife species and establishes a program for their conservation. The Department of Agriculture is directed to develop and maintain a similar list relative to native plants, as well as to develop programs for protection and conservation of these species that are determined to be threatened or endangered. Any person may petition the responsible department to add, remove, or change the status of the species on the list. And each species must be reviewed at least once every 5 years to determine whether information exists to justify its reclassification or removal from the list. The Department of Fish and Wildlife will finance these activities with resources provided in its 87-89 recommended budget. However, the Department of Agriculture will require an additional $91,332 since this is a new area of responsibility.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Mason, under discussion on Senate Bill 533.
I noticed that plants and animals are on here. Both are, does that include either mink, geese, or coyotes?
They're not endangered, I can guarantee you that. Representative Kopetsky.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Representative Gilmore, I received letters on both sides of this issue. Can you give me any reason why I should vote no on this piece of legislation?
No, I can't. I should, in all sincerity, point out something that reality faces us all, particularly in times when we've been here as many terms as I have. This bill, very frankly, is not exactly what either side wants in the particular circumstance, but I think what you'll find reading the bill as it came out of the compromising House Agriculture Committee that it is a bill that in any other form would be unacceptable to either party. So maybe the better part of valor is to rise above principle.
in this particular area.
Very good.
Senator Karen.
Yeah, a question to the representative from Jefferson. Are noggies included as a endangered species? I understand these are little animals that that are sacrificed to create certain elements of furniture and other crap. You don't have to answer that question, though.
In my house, this would be on the list, yes.
Yes, okay. Mr. Chairman, in response to the question from Representative Kopetsky, the bill was much modified and represents a reasonable balance between the interests. It is worth supporting.
You could put it that way.
Yes.
Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 533? Senator Warner.
Well, I just want to say I particularly appreciate this and feel good about the way this committee works on this and other issues, to bring these issues out and not be just standing in the schoolhouse door, so to speak, to use an image from the 50s. Well, I want to congratulate this.
For the record, the amendments were only one of technical nature that the subcommittee or the Committee on Agriculture from the House made in writing as a recommendation to the committee that worked on it.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the measure?
If not, the motion of Representative Gilmore is that 533 report to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection to that motion? No objection, so ordered. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 827. Senator Roberts is someplace. Let's move to the next bill. Senator Maker will carry it. Let's go with 827.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 827 provides that persons under the age of 60 with Alzheimer's disease may qualify for Oregon Project Independence. And OPI, as you know, provides for in-home services for persons over the age of 60. Basically, what this bill does is open the door for those people who are in-home with Alzheimer's disease and related disorders to qualify for that in-home service. It obviously does two things. First of all, it allows that person to stay in the home longer, therefore creating less of a demand on our limited funds for full-time service. And secondly, it provides for the kind of care that you would get in the home that is unavailable anyplace else. Now, you can see there's only a dollar appropriation to the account. However, there would be, later on after the program is developed, the obvious access to apply to the emergency board for the funds. I'm doing this for
you. I know you did. Thank you.
That's basically it, Mr. Chairman. It's a very simple bill.
And a very important
Senator Roberts, would you care to add to the comments? We were just following the agenda.
I think it's perfectly clear that this is a tremendous need and an evolving need, and this was a way of trying to approach it without affecting the eligibility of those people over 60 who are now eligible for OPI. Once somebody, as Tony probably indicated, is over 60, any person over 60 is eligible for OPI. This would just provide for those people who need the same services as people in OPI, but need it a lot sooner as a result of this.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Roberts' motion, according to the agenda, would be that Senate Bill 827 report to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 878. Senator Cairns.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 878 is known as the Sewer Safety Net Bill. The Environmental Quality Commission has ordered Portland and Gresham construct sewers in Multnomah County. The EQC requested that a safety net plan be developed in order that landowner assessments not cause any individual to lose his or her home as a result of those assessments. 878 establishes an assessment deferral loan program revolving fund to allow property owners who meet eligibility criteria to defer all or part of their assessment until sale of their property. The revolving fund would be financed initially by a loan from the Pollution Control Fund. It is expected the Federal Pollution Control Revolving Funds may be available for this purpose in late the next biennium or early in the next biennium following that. Payment of the deferred assessments will likely lag behind the debt service requirements of the original Pollution Control Fund loan. This may necessitate a small general fund debt service appropriation in 1989-91 if alternative refinance funds are not available by that time. I'd urge its adoption and note that House Bill 3101, also on our agenda as a companion bill, require the local safety net program be established.
Thank you, Senator Kearns. Further discussion on 878? Is there objection to Senator Kearns' motion that Senate Bill 878 report to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 2361, Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2361 increases the fee collected by the county clerk on marriage.